Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name, and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading is from Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the needs, the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received the food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin, you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It might be the most memorable or the most impactful scene from a movie in a decade. The scene from American Sniper where future SEAL Chris Kyle's father divides the world into three types of people: wolves, sheep, and sheepdogs. The Sniper's parable went on to explain everything you needed to know about Kyle's upbringing and mindset, or at least Clint Eastwood's reconstruction of Chris Kyle, although the family that knew him best recognized the man in the movie. That parable, though, wasn't in Kyle's autobiography. It seems to be one of those parables that just has been around in various forms. In the movie, Kyle's father told it in such a way that there really is only one category for any son that he is raising. In a less polemic version, it simply is about one's capacity for both violence and empathy. The sheep simply have no personal capacity for violence, but are fine, upstanding citizens. The wolves have the capacity for violence, but they have no empathy. The sheepdog has both capacity for violence and empathy to channel it. That's an example of a parable or an allegory of the type that we at our best tend to make. You can immediately understand it, and it has a worthy point. But in that immediate understanding, you can also see the errors. It is at the same time too large, like the joke that the entire world is divided into two groups, those that divide it into two groups and those that don't. Reality just isn't that reductive. But it's also at the same time too small. Like Kyle's dad, its point seems to be to try to force everyone into one category. The parables of Jesus are just on a completely different level. Like the sniper parable, Jesus calls out three groups in his parable today. You have the thief or the robber, you have the gatekeeper, and you have the shepherd of the sheep. There are also the sheep, but this parable really isn't about the sheep because they are immediate and everywhere identifiable as the people of God. Instead, it's told to the people of God to help them in their time in this world and in their one primary duty, to recognize the voice of the shepherd. Because there are always three kinds of teaching or three kinds of teachers present throughout Christendom. The first group is the thieves and robbers. And the defining trait is that they sneak into the sheepfold. They don't enter through the door. I'm cribbing from Luther here. He describes these simply as those who want to rule over souls with their own invented wisdom and opinion. The great biblical example is the Pharisees. They wanted you to tithe your mint and cumin. They would rather you let someone die than work on the Sabbath. And they were ever present to observe and downgrade those who were not keeping up to their rules. In Luther's day, he used this to call out the papacy. Faith was denigrated, while works such as relics or pilgrimages or substitute of indulgences were elevated. The faith of the common person put down, while the works of monasticism elevated. And all of this was preached as if it was necessary for salvation. Preached mostly on the basis of the Pope's authority, not on apostolic witness. And it was this command, not the fact that acts of piety exist, but the command to do them instead of faith, that Luther says is the wolfish and murderous voice of the Antichrist in Christendom. The question then today would be, who are our thieves and robbers? I'm going to hold off answering that immediately, but for now, just remember that they don't come in the door, and they will demand that you follow invented wisdom. The second group in the parable that gets the least attention, which is appropriate, is the gatekeeper. Notice that the gatekeeper doesn't enter the pen. They don't presume to be the good shepherd. The gatekeeper does two things. First, they guard the sheep pen. And second, they open the door for the true shepherd. The gatekeeper's job is to proclaim the law. Remember your catechism and the three uses of the law, the curb, the mirror, and the rule. The law, that curb, pens us in. It lets us know, the mirror, that we are in the pen, while the sweet grass and clear water is outside the pen. But the pen also allows us to know the way that we should walk, to know who has climbed over the fences and sneaks in versus the one who comes in the door. The gatekeeper proclaims to the law to the sheep so that they know all of this. But the gatekeeper also proclaims that gospel because the gatekeeper opens the door for the good shepherd. The gatekeeper is not the one to lead the flock into the sweet country, but he does point out the one who does. He opens the door to the shepherd. The job of the gatekeeper is to protect the sheep and to point out their true shepherd. And that leads us to the third person, the shepherd. And appropriately, this is the one that the most is said about. For the shepherd is Christ. The shepherd enters by the gate. What does this mean? Well, Moses and the prophets defined the pen with the law, and they only spoke what God himself gave them. As our opening hymn put it, Jesus is the key and the door. Jesus is the only one who fulfills all that was said by the law and the prophets, while opening the door for us in gospel freedom. Jesus is the one that all the apostles proclaimed. From the patriarchs through the apostles down to now, Jesus is the one who both gave us the authoritative law and gives his promises of a land flowing with milk and honey. The shepherd that enters by the gate is the one that the true gatekeepers recognize and proclaim from Scripture. The shepherd that enters by the gate is the one who puts down his life for the sheep. You can recognize the shepherd Jesus by the word. And the sheep do hear and understand his voice. You might be thinking or saying, come on, Pastor, you're arguing in circles here. And maybe I am to human logic, but the voice of the shepherd is known by the sheep. We've got a 4,000-year history of that voice in Scriptures which speaks of Jesus. The church didn't make the Scripture, it just recognized the voice of the shepherd there. One like Moses, but superior to Moses, is here. The Son of David, yet greater than David, is here. And this Jesus came to lead his people, his sheep, out to that sweet land. Jesus alone is able to free his people from that pen of the law and lead them out in the freedom of the gospel. It is Jesus, the Good Shepherd, that rules and guides and leads and pastures and keeps and works his people through that word and through the power of the Spirit so that we are made strong in faith and given the victory even in the midst of suffering. There is the shepherd. Hear his voice and follow him. There's one more thing that we should say about the shepherd. John tells us in the parable that he calls them by name and leads them out. We've talked about the leading out. We are all led to the same good land. But the shepherd also calls each of us by name. When we follow the shepherd, he calls each of us to our individual works and paths. This is not a difference of love. We are all headed to that same sweet land, but we do have different names, different callings. There are various gifts, but one Spirit. Various offices, but one Lord. We are all following that same shepherd, a shepherd that knows each of us well enough to call us by name. After all, he made us, and he knows what we need. I said I would return to those thieves and robbers. It's the job of a gatekeeper to point them out climbing over the fence. And that's to prepare you to be able to exercise your call. As the sheep of the sheepfold, you both know the voice of the shepherd, and you should know the voice of the stranger. The stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. We as Christians need to be able to rightly separate false voices that we don't know from the voice of the one we follow. And there are many false voices out there. They're constantly being recycled. As soon as you decry one, another one is trying to jump the fence. So, the first question I ask is if they preach faith in Christ alone. There is one shepherd and one gate, and that is Jesus. Is Jesus the Lord? Is he true God and true man? Can you confess clearly everything that the second article of the Creed says? He died for you and for our sins, rose from the dead, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. If they stutter or stumble or try to deflect on Jesus alone, being the way, the truth, and the life, don't listen to them. Flee from the voice of the stranger. They are there trying to kill your soul because only Jesus is the way. But we live in a time when many will bluff their way through all of that and say, yes, I confess the entire creed. In fact, we might share some confessions beyond that creed. The question that I ask then is often about the law. Today, that's usually the sixth commandment about sexuality, but the third commandment on the Sabbath day is usually good as well. Especially when we remember that Luther's explanation about the third commandment says we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and the word, but hold them sacred and gladly hear and learn them. The law is simple and written on our hearts, especially the don't do portions. If they hem and haw about the Bible containing the Word of God, but it's not the Word of God. They're hemming and hawing about the purposes of the law. They are saying that Jesus is not the door. Flee from the voice of the stranger. Luther put it this way: we are to keep the law, and yet not trust it. Faith alone sustains us and takes comfort in the pasture of Christ. Thus, works are directed at the obligation of the law, but faith is directed at grace in Christ. The stranger's voice will deny either the law or the gospel, or both of them. In doing so, they are denying Christ, and we need to be able to hear that. Because it is Christ alone who frees us from the bounds of the law and leads us to walk out of the pasture in liberty. Not liberty to make that sweet green pasture unlivable, but liberty to follow the shepherd. To go in and to go out and to find pasture. Because this shepherd is leading us to life that we may live it abundantly. Amen.